And I should move that down or turn that down or thanks, Dave. All right, so I'm being facetious, but I'm going to ask anyways. Who can guess what my lesson's about? We were talking about that in class, Dave, and I thought, man, just to irk people, I ought to do a lesson on fathers. And then I thought I'd probably get chased out of this building and never be welcome back, so I decided against that. So, we all know what today is. It's Mother's Day. But a little about Mother's Day. So, it was first established, give or take, in 1907 by a lady who was named Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia. And she started this campaign to make this kind of event a thing, to honor mothers 2 years after her own mother died is when she started this. So, in 1910, West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day, officially as a thing. And then in 1914, Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day a holiday for the second Sunday of May. In between 1910 and 1914, almost every other state had adopted this as a holiday. But then things kind of went downhill. It got commercialized. Flowers and cards and gifts and candies and all this stuff, which I know my mother doesn't dislike at all. Love you, Mom. I shouldn't have done that. But all this stuff came in, and Mrs. Jarvis soon figured out that the thing that she had made a reality, this day to honor mothers and all the things that they do for us, she kind of wished she had never done. She became enraged by its commercialization and actually started a campaign to get Mother's Day taken off the calendar. She was that mad about it. She filed a lawsuit in 1923 to stop Mother's Day as a thing. She was arrested for disturbing the peace at a War Mothers convention where there's a campaign going on for Mother's Day. And she said, I wanted it to be a day of sentiment, not profit. You know, good intentions. See how all that turned out. Today, many mothers are happy to receive the flowers and the candies and the gifts and the cards. But mothers deserve more than just that. They deserve all that too, but they deserve more than that. Especially from a biblical perspective. And that's kind of how I want to view this. The title of the lesson, quite simply, is What Mothers Deserve. So what do they deserve? And let's look at this from the lens of a child towards their mother. What does a mother deserve from a righteous, Bible-abiding child? So first, they deserve obedience. Mom had her fair share of times with me where I was not obedient. I know, me, right? Not obedient? In Ephesians chapter 6, and also in Colossians chapter 3, there's a phrase that roughly states, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And Solomon, in Proverbs, and we're going to be in Proverbs a lot, because Proverbs is basically the guide on how to be good. Lots of helpful hints there. But in Proverbs 1:8, Solomon counseled his son not to forsake the law of your mother. Okay, pay attention to your parents. And of course, even Jesus obeyed his mother. First thing that sticks out to me is in John, where his mother says, I need you to help me, there at the wedding in Cana. And he says, it's not my time, and then he still goes and does it anyways. And then also in Luke chapter 2, when he had been left at the temple, and his parents came back and he said, well, didn't you know I was going to be here? And then he went with them and obeyed, and it says he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God and man. And of course, this mostly pertains to us during the period of child raising, you know, when we're minors and when our parents are our guardians and we should behave and we should do well, but it never really goes away, does it? The phrase I like to use is, I'm a grown man. Yeah, look at me, I'm a grown man. I don't have to listen. Yeah, I do. I still live at home. I still have to respect my mother. I do it anyways. I promise I would. But I still have to obey. And I do my best. Most of the time. Periodically, the room looks kind of like a pigsty, and I think she's been hounding me for the past 3 weeks to clean it, and it's still organized chaos. But we should obey our mothers. From a biblical perspective, it's a wise thing to do. You know, we're told to honor your father and mother, obey your father and mother. It says that you're a fool if you don't obey your father and your mother. So, very clearly, they deserve our obedience. But they also deserve our respect. From Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And then Solomon, he talked about some consequences in Proverbs chapter 20 for kids that didn't obey their parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. A Chinese proverb says, respect for one's parents is the highest duty out of life. And of course, common decency demands that we respect our parents, right? Again, especially our mothers. We might have tumultuous relationships with our dads from time to time, you know, men butting heads and all that goodness, but common decency states you defer to your mother and you treat her well and you respect her wishes. Here's one that sometimes I think people might struggle with a little bit, especially men. Mothers deserve affection. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20, Elisha is getting ready to go out with Elijah, and he thinks to himself, wait a minute, I need to go with my parents for a second. In chapter 19, verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he, being Elijah, said to him, Elisha, go back again, for what have I done to you? Elisha understood the importance of having this open, honest relationship with his parents. He knew the value of his parents. He knew how he felt about them in his heart. And I take this as a logical extension of, they need to know how I feel about it. So show them how I feel. Show them that they're precious to me and that I'm going to miss them and that I value them. I know that the men in the houses oftentimes don't do the whole, oh, hey, love you, Dad, love you too, son. It's not really a thing. At least it wasn't my house. We're getting a little bit better about it. We're growing up and are, you know, being comfortable with being men. But as long as I can remember, you know, it's like, love you, Mom, love you too, son. Or when I used to go to school at a private school, Mom would drop me off every day. Love you, son, love you too, Mom. Even still when I leave for work sometimes, love you, Mom. Just make it a thing. Always, never leave the house for me. And don't tell your parents or your children or your siblings, your spouse, whatever, that you love them, right? I mean, chaos theory and all this stuff. What if the worst thing happens and the last thing you said to them wasn't something about how you felt about them? I'd feel kind of like a jerk. And talking about this affection, you know, Elisha, he wanted to go back, and he offered a sacrifice, and it says that he took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, boiled their flesh, and gave it to the people, and they ate. So he sat down to a meal with his parents. Essentially, he gave them a gift as well. Gifts are one way we show affection, right? Mom woke up this morning, and there were flowers on the table. My brother sent her flowers yesterday, and then cards and gifts and all this other various stuff. Make sure that your mothers know how you feel about them. What else do mothers deserve? They deserve our wisdom. All right, now this one's a little bit of a head scratcher, but bear with me. Guess where we're going back to? Going back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. It says that a foolish son is the grief of his father. Actually, it says a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And then it's Proverbs 17:25. See, I got all these verses lined out, and I thought I was doing so well. And then that's what I get for just putting verses, not references. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. My parents are sitting back there, and they can tell you, I'm sure, of dozens and dozens of times I did stupid stuff. And the consequences that came about, and the grief and the heartache and all that stuff. Your mothers deserve you to think about what you're going to do before you do it. They deserve a little bit of a break from all the stuff that we do. And when I say we, I mean me in this one. I think over my childhood and through my young adulthood and all the stuff that I did, stupid decisions, and the fallout. And I know that I gave my mother grief. And I know that if I'd have sat and thought about those things for like 30 seconds longer, probably could have shaved a little bit of time off of all the heartache and the grief that I gave my mother. She might have had an extra year of life, but I'm sure with all of me being me and my shenanigans that I'm going to put her in an early grave. Sorry, Mom. Jesus also increased in wisdom. Again, that reference in Luke 2:52, it says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. As your parents raise you, they would expect you to get a little bit of common sense. I know some of the best lessons I've ever gotten have come from that woman back there. It is what it is. So do them a favor and apply that wisdom that they're giving you. Mothers obviously deserve our righteousness, right? We're looking at this from a child's perspective through the lens of the Bible. So they deserve us to be righteous. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. I love this book. I really do. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So the easiest way to make the woman that bore you be bitter is to be foolish. And the best way to make her rejoice is to be righteous. So says the book of Proverbs. More important than anything else you're going to do in your life, not your financial success, not the size of your family, not the size of your house or your car or your physical possessions, the single most important thing you're ever going to do in your life is to be righteous. It's all that matters. Nothing, I would think, I'm not a mother, I can't speak to this, but nothing would make a mother more proud than to have a righteous son or daughter. To know that they raised up a good Christian. But today, righteousness comes through faithfully following Jesus, right? It's not contingent on sacrifices anymore or strict adherence to the old law. We still have to adhere, but there's a little more leeway there for our inevitable screw-ups. Now we show our righteousness by being obedient to God and the new law, by being kind to people, and by showing our works, and by being faithful. And the last thing that our mothers deserve, they deserve our care. When you're born into this world, who takes care of you? Your mother does. Who changes your diaper, who feeds you, who takes you to the doctor, who stays up with you through the late nights when you're running a fever and you're being all sick and whiny. mom does. Who's there to support you and who's there to clean your scraped knees and kiss your little boo-boos and all that stuff? Mom is. All through your life, your greatest supporter, your biggest champion is your mom. And then as you grow up into this calm, capable, confident adult, it's time to give back. Time to be there for your parents, maybe in their times of sickness, or when they're down in the dumps, or when they need someone to be there for them. Now it's your turn. I remember when my great-grandmother was in her final years of her life. Her son had already passed away, so my mom and her siblings were the ones that really took care of my great-grandmother. I remember mom would go like a couple of times a week to go to the assisted living center and then to kind of the hospice care center where my great-grandmother was and spend time with her, even though she was going senile and didn't really understand a lot of things and was very, very hazy in and out. She was always there. And when my grandfather was in hospice and was passing away, I remember when he finally went in there into the hospice center for like a month and a half, 2 months, every day after work, mom and dad were showing up. It's our responsibility as children to be there for our mothers and for our fathers too. When they need us, as they were there for us when we needed them. Do we give our mothers the respect and the care and the wisdom and the righteousness and the affection and all this other stuff that they deserve? Do we give them all of that? You know, we may choose on Mother's Day to give our mothers flowers or cards or gifts or candy, whatever. But a better way to honor our mothers is to be obedient and to be respectful and affectionate and wise and all this stuff that we've talked about this morning. Are we making an effort to do that for them? Do we remind our mothers that we love them? Do we take their advice? Do we seek their advice? That's a better way to be wise than any, is to ask for the advice rather than just to wait for them to give it to you. You know, I think that mothers are a really, really powerful example of the love that God has for us. They're the ones that comfort and the ones that take care of and the ones that support us. Sometimes, I mean, I don't understand how people can forget the goodness that God has done for us when we think back on our mothers. I realize that not everyone's fortunate enough to have a really wonderful mother. I was, am. But any time you start to forget the good that God does for you, look at the physical reminder you've got on this planet. Look at your mother. I mean, I remember awful times when I was a kid just being sick and mom was there. I remember, I can't have been more than like 3 or 4 years old. I had a babysitter. And she came over to our house one day, and mom was getting ready to leave for work. And I threw an absolute fit because I didn't want mom to go. Just couldn't bear the thought of being without her. And here's where we're going to make the jump here. I'm sure I'm not the only person that's like that. So why don't we, if mothers are a reminder of the goodness that God has for us, why aren't we like that with God? Why don't we throw an absolute fit when someone tries to pull us away from him? Why don't we absolutely break down when we don't have him in our lives as much as we want to? It says that we should give our mothers righteousness, right? Today's Mother's Day. So give your mother the gift of righteousness. If you're already a Christian, and if you're already leading that life that God expects you to lead, let your mother know about it. If you're not leading that life that you should, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you've fallen away, fix that situation. Give your mother one less thing to worry about. I know that one day when I am raising kids, all I want out of them is for them to be Christians, for them to be happy, healthy, righteous people. Everything else I don't care about. Most everything else I don't care about. I don't want them to be hobos, but if that's their life choice, that's fine. But I want them to be Christians. And I know if I feel that way, then our parents must feel that way too. Your parents want what's best for you. I've seen it in my 25 years on this planet that even though I don't like the decisions that they give me sometimes, I know they want what's best for me. God wants what's best for us. He's our Heavenly Father. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows us intimately. He knows us better than we know us. He wants us to be righteous too. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be obedient and to be faithful and to have a home with Him. When Dave was talking about his mother this morning, saying he knows she's in heaven. He knows that she's going to be there when he gets there one day. God wants that for all of us. Our mothers want that for us. I know when my mother, hopefully in a long, long time, passes away, that when I finally pass away, I want to meet back up with her. So how do we do that? How do we ensure that when we die, we have a home in heaven? And I know I do this every time I'm up here, and I'm going to keep doing it every time I'm up here. Six steps. You hear the word. You cannot possibly be saved if you don't hear the word. You believe it. You're not going to act on it if you don't believe what you've heard. You repent. What does that mean? It means you make the conscious decision to change your ways and to be obedient. Then you confess. All right, what do you confess? You confess that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, He lived a perfect life, and He died to cover your sins. Then you're baptized. Baptism is symbolic of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You're dying to your old self. You're being buried and covered in His blood, and you're being resurrected new with your sins washed away. All that's easy. That is all ridiculously easy to do. The last step is the kicker. The last step is being obedient. In effect, living that righteous life that you owe to your mothers. I'm sure we're all going to go and spend time with our mothers when all this is over. And I know that many of us are coming back when all this is said and done for our evening meal in celebration of our mothers. Speaking of, that's a shameless plug. There's going to be food here tonight. You should all come and celebrate and be with us this evening. Don't take them for granted. Your mothers are special people in your lives. We all know this, right? They're your biggest supporters. They're your champions. They're the people that want what's best for you. So take some time out of your day. If you haven't already, call your mom. Speaking of, this is the highest day for phone traffic all year long. It's an increase in like 30% of phone traffic. So call your parents if they're far away. Tell them you love them. Tell them that you appreciate them. Tell them that you value the influence that they've had in your life. Let them know what they mean to you. I feel like God put mothers here because He couldn't be here Himself. that He gave them all the best qualities that we were going to need. When we're down in the dumps, when we're sick, when we're scared, when we're unsure of ourselves, and God can't actually be here to help us out. That's what mothers are for. I firmly believe that. Is that a little sentimental, a little mushy? Sure it is, but that's how I feel. We're going to wrap this thing up. I don't want to keep you from your Mother's Day festivities any longer. If there's any kind of need that you have, if you're not a Christian and you need to become a Christian, if you are a Christian but you've fallen away, maybe you're just having a hard time and you need prayers. If there's any kind of need at all, now is the time to address it while we stand and sing.